The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver, Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Coming up at 4, it's SC football pregame. 5 o'clock, the Trojans take on Utah. But for this hour, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. I am your host and am grateful and blessed to be here. And I want to jump right into the first segment because it is of the utmost importance. I read commentaries from time to time, of which I'm about to do. Neil Oliver is a British documentary filmmaker. And I think he strikes something to the core as he writes about his home country, but I think we can relate to it here in the States and actually around the world. Let me get to his commentary. People write to me every day to tell me they fear the future. People from all over the world, all ages, all walks of life. I say this, we should not be afraid. If anyone should be afraid, it is our government, the whole of Parliament, the state, and the establishment. They should be afraid because they are in the wrong, doing wrong things and behaving unforgivably. You can tell they're afraid by the way they keep doing more and more, faster and faster, to make the people poor, cold, and hungry. Also demoralized, anxious, and fearful about the present, never mind the future. The fear felt by people around the world is the deliberate consequence of the actions of so-called leaders all across the West and beyond. I say again, we should not be afraid. Those plotting and working against us, against our interests, both as individuals and as sovereign states, have no power and no money other than that which we, the people, grant them. They're supposed to use that power and money to protect us, to keep us free, and to provide opportunities for those hard-working, free people to make happy and successful lives for themselves. Instead, they're working night and day to have us welcome a state of being that is nothing less than digital enslavement. Many of the people who contact me ask, what should we do? How can we fight back? I think about the answers to those questions all the time. Right now, I wonder what would happen if those who are cold in their homes, millions of people, just turned on their heating and turned off their direct debits and standing orders. What would happen if when the bills came, we all just agreed to toss them on the fire, all of us together? What would happen if millions of us peacefully acted as one, just stood together in quiet defiance? I could be wrong, but I don't think there's enough cells in the prisons, enough judges to hear the cases. If the system wasn't already broken by them, such actions would break it. What would happen if we all withdrew our money from the banks on the same day? What would happen if we all asked, as we're entitled to, for the money? The banks don't have the money to meet all those demands, and so presumably they would close their doors. Then what? Would their inability to pay out all that cash be evidence of the fraud that is fiat money? I wonder. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The social contract, that notion by which we surrender power to the state in return for services and safety, is broken beyond repair. They broke it, not us. Successive governments, not just the present bunch of cardboard cutouts, have over decades knowingly and deliberately betrayed every aspect of that contract. It is null and void, and we, the blameless party, are no longer bound by its conditions. We, the people, the sovereign people of the country, don't just hold the power, we are the power. We loan some of it, a short-term loan, to governments. And those governments are supposed to serve us, do our bidding. Never the other way around. We tell them what to do. Hundreds of years worth of governments has quietly and secretively presided over a financial system that is no more than state-sanctioned fraud. Power to create money out of thin air was put in the hands of an entirely private, unelected, unaccountable business, and this power has been abused to make a tiny group unimaginably rich by enslaving all of us with debt. That system is now on the point of collapse. The West is bankrupt, and governments and bankers are scrambling to solve a problem, how to subtract every last shekel from the people while still having a handful of wealthy bankers and their enablers left over. Britain has no functioning border against the rest of the world. Sound familiar? Hundreds are arriving in this country. It's talking about Britain every day and night. Many ferried across the channel by agencies paid for by British taxpayers. British people have to wait longer for health and social care and accommodation to make way for economic migrants with their eyes on a soft touch who've paid illegal gangs thousands of pounds ahead to get here. They send their luggage on ahead and collect it at their hotels. We are at the back of the queue while anyone else from anywhere else is looked after hand and foot. And always the loudest calls are not for stopping it, but for more money, faster processing. I wonder if the illegal immigration isn't just convenient for the state, softening up the citizens for a supposed solution, like digital ID, perhaps. And then borders open once and for all, I wonder. The British people are no longer kept safe by the police force they pay for. Burglaries and properties and assaults on the person are barely investigated, while officers prioritize thought crimes on social media. Uncounted thousands of little girls are abandoned to organized gangs of rapists up and down the country because the state turned a blind eye to the relentless raping of children rather than ruffle community feathers. He's talking about sex trafficking. I'm talking about the filmmaker Neil Oliver. I continue. A tenth of the population is on the waiting list for treatment by the NHS. The National Health Service is not keeping our nation healthy. Again, he's talking about Britain. All this about free at the point of delivery is about as much use as a magic spell. You can call a lunch a free lunch, but you'll still be left hungry if you can't get into the restaurant. So-called free steaks will not fill you up if you have to wait so long in the queue you starve to death in the meantime. Free becomes another word for something you've heard about but can't have. Oliver says, I say it again, though. We have nothing to fear. Not if we decide to be unafraid. In many ways, the worst has already happened. We've been shown where we stand in the eyes of the state, which is beneath their contempt. I don't have the answers to all the questions, but I know this much. Even just asking them, airing the thoughts, should make the government, the state, the establishment, sit up and pay attention. More and more strikes are happening. Rail workers, teachers, university lecturers, nurses next. What about the self-employed who were abandoned for the last 2 years? They can't strike. What would happen if they withheld their taxes all at the same time? I just wonder. But history tells us we should never underestimate the power of the many. Just over 100 years ago, during World War I, thousands of workers were pulled into the city of Glasgow to work in the munitions factories. At that time, there wasn't a single council house or flat in the whole of Britain. Private landlords owned 100% of homes for rent. They could and did raise rents as often as they wanted. Tenants either paid up or were evicted. In February 1915, landlords across the city told tenants their rents were going up by as much as 25%. This was against a backdrop of the steeply rising cost of living generally, food scarcity, and the rest. There was a war to win, remember, and sacrifices were expected from the people if the enemy was to be defeated. In the case of many homes, the man of the house was away fighting in the war, leaving just women and children. Into this crisis for poor people stepped Mary Barber, an ordinary Glasgow woman with two children. She and others realized their only hope lay in sticking together. A mass non-payment campaign got underway. Arrears built up and soon sheriff's officers were turning up to demand back rent or to evict non-payers. But whenever anyone got wind of an eviction, hundreds of women would descend on the address and block the entrance to the home. A Glasgow MP, Willie Reid, described a typical incident. Quote, a soldier's wife in Parkhead had an eviction notice served on her, with a warning that if she failed to vacate her house by 12 noon, the sheriff's officer would call to enforce it. The strike committee got busy. They instructed every mother in the district with a young child to be there by 11 a.m. and on D-Day, complete with baby buggies. Long before noon, the clothes, and street were packed with buggies, and every baby buggy had at least one youngster in it. No raiding party could have got near the house. Moreover, the men of Parkhead Forge and others works in the district decided to down tools at 11:30 a.m. and lend a hand if necessary, end quote. People began to talk about Mary Barber's army. On 17 November, 18 tenants appeared in court for eviction. Tens of thousands of Glasgow people lined the streets outside, and in the end, on November 25th, 1915, rents were frozen at pre-war levels. The Increase of Rent and Mortgage Interest Act of 1915 was passed, and some elements of it remained in force as late as 1989. Neil Oliver continues, I wonder what would happen if all of us, opposed to what is going on now, came together like those Glasgow women of 1915 and just said no. I wonder. When thinking about that time, I'm reminded of real leaders. I've been talking about a man named Ernest Shackleton, who, when all seemed lost, his ship sunk beneath the Antarctic ice, and with nothing but flimsy tents, three little boats, and 28 men trapped on the pack ice, and depending on him for life itself, he said, well, now we'll go home. Our so-called leaders tell us our lives must be filled with hardship while they warm themselves in centrally heated homes paid for with our taxes and look forward to Christmas parties and food and drink and decorations paid for by all of us. That is not leadership. That is an abusive relationship. Shackleton put himself through every hardship he expected his men to endure. He did it first and for the longest. What he asked of them, he did too. He said that they should leave behind on ice anything that would not help keep them alive. Some saying he even walked to a hole in that ice and dropped his gold watch and a cigarette case to the bottom of the ocean. He led from the front every step of the way. And over nearly 1,000 miles of the cruelest sea on earth, and in the end, he got each and every man home safely. They called him the boss. He cared not a jot for the comforts of home. Back home once more, he wrote, quote, we'd pierced the veneer of outside things. We had suffered, starved, and triumphed, groveled down and grasped at glory, grown bigger in the bigness of the whole, end quote. He was a leader who saw that it was shared endeavor and shared striving that made all else possible. Lastly, our leaders? Our leaders would pick our pockets for any gold watches and valuables before climbing aboard their private jets and flying home, leaving us behind on the melting ice. I say we owe them nothing, not our loyalty, not our obedience. If we continue to comply, we build our own prisons around ourselves for their benefit. They've promised us the earth while stealing it from us, raping and pillaging its resources only for their own enrichment. I say again, there is nothing to fear if we have each other. Here's the thing. If we set a course for ourselves and back each and every one of us will cross this ocean of darkness together all the way to where we want to be. Neil Oliver is a British filmmaker. I welcome your comments. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. I'll unpack a bit about what I read as well. And we're grateful that you're listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I pray you and yours are well on this very special broadcast on this Friday afternoon. We have SC football coming up at 5, and the pregame will be at 4. In the interim, I am live in studio until the top of the hour. My name is Frank Sontag. So I just read a commentary, if you heard any of it or in its entirety, a lot of it had to do with us as a large body of people standing together and saying no to the powers that be. I've already gotten a couple emails. By the way, if you want to email me directly, frank at kmgministries.com is probably the best email address. I have a men's ministry. It is KMG Ministries. couple people already chimed in. So idealistic, so unreal. Maybe. But what do? I know there are people of all sorts of ideological persuasions or political mindsets that may have diametrically opposing views. But when it comes to the issue of what's going on, say, in our country and the government, a lot of us agree on things. Even though you wouldn't know it by the way the mainstream media pounds out their propaganda. And yes, I believe it's propaganda. I don't think we're as divided as we hear over and over again. Stop watching the news. I have a men's ministry. I can be a little tough on guys. I say, get off the couch, turn the TV off, stop watching football, and protect your family. I get emails from people that listen to my regular Friday night program, which I'll be back on the air next Friday evening from 7 to 9. When I first started here on KBC 6 months ago, I have to tell you, most of the emails were either, I'm not so sure about you, or you're very abrasive. You seem so angry. I've been in talk radio for more than 35 years. I profess to have faith in Christ. I'm not here to necessarily push my faith on you. All I'm here to say is I believe God made men and women uniquely different and yet equal. I identify as a man. And when I look to what's going on in society, I think most men have checked out. The biggest crisis in our country is men not being men. And I speak deeply into this as a man who, a good chunk of his life, I was pretty messed up, pretty jacked up. I've done my share of hurting people, making dumb mistakes, product of an abusive and divorced home, didn't really understand the course of manhood. 13 years ago, I started studying the greatest man ever to walk the face of the planet. His name is Jesus Christ. And the light bulbs began to go off. Could it be? Could it be that God created me in his image? Could it be that God the Father loves every man and woman as their cherished sons and daughters equally? And part of the problem in our culture right now is we have turned our back on God and we are watching the mocking of God's creation. But I will tell you this. I do not buy into the lie of, well, I'm only one person. What can I do? That's a lie straight from hell. Just look at history. History is filled with one person changing society and culture forever. So why not you? Why not me? Why not? Why not live life to its fullest? In case you haven't noticed, over the last few years, our country's getting pretty messed up. Oh, you must be a Republican. You must support Donald Trump. I'm not talking politically. I'm talking about realistically. Where the average middle-class worker, hard-working American, can barely keep things together because the entities and the powers that be right now, and that's why I read Neil Oliver's commentary. I'm so sick of watching us give our power up to them. There are few of them and many of us, and I'm not necessarily preaching anarchy, but I think every American that believes in this country may want to dust off the Declaration of Independence and get a little adept at what's going on historically. It's time to take ground back. But maybe you come from the school of thought, well, live and let live. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't like confrontation. You either choose or you don't choose. All I know for me in my life, when I played the indifferent, when I played the ignorant card, it eventually came knocking on my door. You can only play the ostrich syndrome for so long. When you realize, oh my gosh, this is not only about me, this is directly about me and how I live my life. I believe God made each and every one of us with a plan and a purpose in our lives. One of the many things I loved about that commentary, stop being so afraid. I profess to be a Christian, loosely put. I don't like organized religion, but I say that to say this. I believe in the Bible. The Bible constantly talks about do not be afraid. And I was on the air for the entire, basically the entire pandemic, and I would feel calls from Christians. And that's all I heard is, I'm so afraid. I'll do whatever the government tells me to do. I'll take the shot. I'll stay home. Oh, and I get a check. Really? That's the way we live our lives? Giving up our God-giving abilities and powers to an entity that could give one rip about you? And again, I'm not preaching anarchy here. I believe God created government, but God didn't create politics. Big difference between the two. And I think if we want to point the finger of blame, it can go on both sides of the aisle. But something has changed dramatically over the last few years. And if you're one that needs to have it spelled out, the left has reared its ugly head. I'm talking about communism. It's infiltrated our government. It will do everything it can to undermine the very tenets of this nation. This is a war. And if this isn't palatable to you, if this is a little too harsh, okay, there's 80-some other radio stations in SoCal, but I ask you to keep listening because on some level, deep in your heart, you know there's something to what I'm saying. You know, my Bible talks about woe to those that call good evil and evil good. How many times have you watched someone in a position of authority at a press conference or in the government or some entity that's attained an enormous amount of power over the last 2 years under lockdowns, quote unquote, COVID, where they tell you things and you're like, that's not true. That's a lie. And yet the experience is, well, I'm just one person. I'm so powerless. I'm just going to get frustrated. It's not the way this experiment was even begun. In the 60s, God was slowly taken away from everything. All I know for me, in 2009, when I had a radical encounter with God, I realized I can't do another day without him. I'm not going to rely on my own understanding. I did that for 54 years of my life. I was a New Age teacher. Thousands of people following me thought I was, you know, the next best thing since sliced bread. And I'd bought it hook, line, and sinker until the day when I had the encounter. It was like, oh, Frank, you're such a fool. God created the universe. He created everything. His example, just look outside. Look up at the night stars. Your heart beats 186,000 times every day, give or take a few. Is that you making your heart beat? And yet I understand most of us go, no, I don't want to surrender to God because I want to be my own God. This is the time we live. The Bible talks about we've changed the worship of the Creator to the worship of creation. We've become our own gods. And all I can tell you is God's a patient God and a forgiving God. He's not missing anything. And there is such a thing as evil. It doesn't mask itself any longer. And if you want to know how to fight evil, first and foremost, do not live your life in fear. 800-222-5222 are the numbers, 800-222-KABC. My name is Frank Sontag, and you are listening to the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Top of the hour, it's USC football pregame, 5 o'clock. The USC Trojans take on Utah. For now, this is the Frank Sontag Show, and I am live in studio on this Friday on AM 790 KABC. If you care to weigh in on the program and call, the numbers are always 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. We have a couple of open lines. If you want to email me, frank@kmgministries.com is my email address. Listener Chris sent me an email saying, I don't want to call in and get into an argument with you, but you sound like a bummed out Republican with no red wave to grab onto. Chris, I appreciate the humor. As a Christian man, I say politics is too often viewed as a means of redeeming our culture. When to me, it seems like the reality is the fundamental problem of culture is spiritual, not political. By the way, if you're new to the program or have never heard me before, I embrace disagreement. I love disagreement. With one, I guess, disclaimer. If we can be respectful to each other and have a conversation, we just maybe can learn from each other. And I realize that's not necessarily the times we live in. We live in cancel culture. Oh, you're offending me. I don't want to hear what you have to say. So we just shut you down. I say no. Interaction, conversation is a pretty remarkable thing. And I would like to suggest, I believe the powers that be don't want us talking, don't want us interacting. Because it just may dawn on us, hey, I may disagree with you about some things, but, you know, there's some things that I agree with you on. God made us to be socially interactive with each other. We need each other. It's the way we're wired in our heart. But if you can convince people, hey, that's the enemy, don't talk to him or her and be angry at him or her, that's a scam that's been run on civilizations for centuries. That's the big power grab until people wake up and say no more. So I embrace disagreement. You're always welcome to call 800-222-KABC. And we can have a conversation respectfully. In fact, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Tim. I don't know where Tim is calling from. Tim, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on AM 790 KABC. Thanks for calling, Tim.
Hey, it's so nice to hear your voice on the air. I remember you from years back, and you always had a good, healthy opinion. You always brought up the truth, and I don't know how you came to find your new calling in life, but I'm happy to hear it.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. I appreciate your calling. What would you like to share?
Well, the lack of maleness in our society. I hear complaints from single women who I know that are trying to find a man. Employers who are trying to find employees. Everybody's looking for someone who can, you know, stand up for their beliefs, do the right thing, be strong in a situation. And the men that are coming out of this new generation, they're just not there. They don't have any skills that are useful to people. The women that are trying to mate them, the employers that are trying to use them and trust them to do the job that they need to do. I mean, our own military is so woke now that I wouldn't trust ourselves more than the Russians at this point to be able to fight off somebody because there's just not training there to do that.
Tim, I appreciate your call greatly. Please call again. Thank you for calling tonight. Brief comment on masculinity or manhood. When I was a younger man, at the very least in society, we had male role models. We knew what a quote-unquote man was. Not a perfect man, not necessarily with all the attributes that we tried to strive for, but you knew what a man was. The genders were clearly distinctive. I have a 14-year-old son. His generation is being raised at a time they don't even know what a man is. It's under such attack. I never thought I'd live in a day where I'd wake up and there'd be some kind of a whether it's minority or not, consensus on this idea that there's 72 different genders. And I'm what I decide that I feel like I am today. Are you kidding me? Last comment on manhood. I've had a men's ministry for a number of years. I don't believe in the victim mentality. I don't believe in shaming someone else. But I will tell you, I meet a lot of guys that are so beat up and so checked out and they've tapped out and they won't do it anymore. I say, what's your deal? What, you can't get up because you've been knocked down? And you kind of stir something in a seminal, intrinsic way in their heart, because God made men different from women. Here's something that's controversial. Not that I'm saying it for the very fact to be controversial. I believe God made men to war. We have warrior spirits in our hearts. As a Christian man, that's not popular to say. In many churches across the country, we preach a soft Jesus. He's loving and forgiving and compassionate. All that is absolutely true. But he also flipped the money changers. He called the religious elite of the day vipers and hypocrites. We think of Jesus as a carpenter. Guess what? If you've ever been to Israel, there's boulders everywhere. I would venture to guess Jesus probably spent some time working some rocks. Dude probably was a little ripped. He's probably stronger than we can even imagine. The Bible in Exodus 15:3 says, "The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name." Men are made to war. War against what? War against evil. Protect our children. Protect our families. Say no. But what do you see? What's the cancer that's infiltrated our culture? Video, social media, where people videotape women being beaten or whatever, and everybody just stands around and watches. We're the men to step up and pull fights apart, or to say no more, or to intervene. It's almost as if in my ministry, you just have to give guys permission. Hey, guess what? It's okay to be a man. And you unleash them. You point them to the warrior Christ. You disciple them and you teach them. This world would change in the blink of an eye if men would step forward and be men and learn what biblical masculinity is. And look, here's the last part. We're only here for a short time. There is an enemy of our souls. I absolutely believe it. And he will do everything he can to undermine you. A lot of men have been taken off the battlefield, and the sad part is they don't even know who the enemy is, let alone what they're fighting for. But I say no more. It doesn't take many, it takes just a few. The number 300 comes to mind. Ring a bell? But seriously, we have to start calling things for what they are. Language is even under attack now. Words that for millennia meant something, the definitions don't mean them anymore. I want to be careful here. I need to take a break. I've used this example in a past program. I have a dear friend who works in the Bay Area. He sent me a screenshot of a men's bathroom, and above the toilet, in a men's only bathroom, there were tampons and other things in a men's bathroom. We really believe men can give birth? Seriously? Or men have their cycles? Really? My God. My God, help us. You know, the Bible talks about repentance. Just ask for forgiveness. Lord, please forgive me. and then get in the fight. Fight for something. Maybe you're fighting to stay sober or to not relapse and use drugs, or maybe there's a whole array of other things you're fighting just to make it through the day. Don't give up. Reach out. There's a lot of help available. People that have been through maybe what you're going through right now would do anything to step alongside you and help you through a tough time. With all of the access to information at the push of a button, we're like the most isolated culture maybe in the history of the planet. Please just like my Instagram post. Again, God help us. We have a couple lines open, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. By the way, if you miss any of this program at all, the podcasts are virtually up immediately after. The entire podcasts can be listened to at franksontag.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Our final segment, the hour has gone quickly. Top of the hour, it is USC pregame, and then at 5 o'clock, the USC Trojans take on Utah. But for now, this is the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. The Bible says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You want to sum up the idea of a hero or to love each other as we love ourselves, if you will? Where are those willing to risk their lives? Here's the truth. They're in our culture. They're in our society. We don't hear a lot about them, but they're there. Also, let me say this. Maybe we'll take a call or two to end the hour. Truth will always win out in the long run. If you've not heard my comments in past programs about climate change, which I think is a lot of nonsense, part of the reason why I know it's a lot of nonsense is I was part of the radical environmental movement in the 80s and 90s and preached and spewed the same stuff that we hear decade in and decade out. We only have 10 years. Oh. Here's an interesting study out of MIT. It's a study that shows, contrary to the whole climate change ruse, the Earth can actually regulate its own temperature with drastic fluctuations over long periods of time. You can go to MIT's very site. Headline, Earth can regulate its own temperature over millennia, new study finds. Study by MIT researchers confirms that the planet harbors what they call a stabilizing feedback mechanism that acts over hundreds and even thousands of years to pull the climate back from the brink, keeping global temperatures within a steady, habitable range. Fear. The end is near. Governments tell you. Again, if there's anything you learn from this hour of the program, do not live your life in fear. Let's talk to Ryan. Ryan, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to you about the being in early recovery and stuff like that. I just got about 6 months now. I'm actually a drug and alcohol counselor, and I kind of fell off last year. And my wife was pregnant, and so I kind of picked myself up. I have a really good support system and all that. So I was able to do that.
Good.
And I was just curious. Yeah. And I'm super stoked on life right now. I got a 3-month-old and two other kids with my wife. And my question is I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I pray all the time for my family, for this country, for the leaders, for everybody. Right. And so I feel in my heart this burning to fight a physical fight, like a battlefield fight. You know what I mean? And that's what I feel is coming for some reason. And I don't know when it is that you switched from one to the other.
Do you know much about me? Have you heard my program much before? Do you know much about my ministry?
I've heard you mention it before, but I hardly ever catch the show on Fridays because of work and stuff.
I understand. FrankSontag.com is my website. When you have a few moments, just go and kind of peruse. You'll become more acquainted a little bit. I will say this. I come from the school of thought that everything that exists in this physical realm started in the spiritual realm. You talk about a physical fight. My brother, my friend, the fight right now is of epic proportions, and it's in the spiritual realm. You talked about prayer. Prayer is the single most powerful weapon we can use. And yet, as the body of Christ, I hesitate to say we're kind of impotent. We just think prayers are, well, somehow in the morning and at night, and then we sign off in Jesus' name. So there it is. It's, you know, it's done. And we just kind of go about our ways, living for ourselves and not for our King and not giving God glory. You talk about being in recovery. Congratulations. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up. And I want to applaud you and thank you. And I want to get to something else quickly here. So thank you, and I hope and pray you call again, Ryan.
Thank you.
You're welcome. One of my few frustrations about talk radio, we only can get into a brief interaction. Maybe the promise of more to come. Rick, you are on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Hello, Rick.
Oh, thank you very much, Frankie. Sorry about the Frankie. I've listened to you since the MMB days, so I love hearing you on the air. I wish you can be on longer tonight, and I wish you on every day, if you know what I mean. All right, I got a couple things. Just what you said, you know, the government shuts everything down, especially the religion during the COVID. They kept the pot shops open, the liquor stores open. They shut. I'm a landscaper up here in the Kineo Valley. They shut down the religion. Okay, really quickly, because I know we're short on time. I have a roommate. I was divorced during this COVID after 31 years of marriage. Sort of sucks, but I'm in recovery from that. But I have a roommate that just got out of the military, the Navy. This guy is so pussified. It is incredible. He doesn't know which leg to put his pantyhose on in the morning. He has no common sense. He doesn't know how to clean anything.
Well, here, let me respond, and I do appreciate your call because we're up against the clock. Here's what I would say to you. I don't know if you are a man of faith at all, but pray for him. I don't believe in the victim mentality, but so many people are victims of circumstance. This is the way of our culture. I'll never forget I did an afternoon program here in L.A., 5 days a week, every afternoon for more than 8 years. And I had a young man call me one day when we were talking about masculinity. And he said in his college class, he was forced to stand up in front of the class and apologize for being a man. So this is part of the attack that's going on. But we say no. We pray for our enemies. And we live and we emulate the truth. We do events through my ministry. We have retreats. We do leadership courses and discipleship courses. I'm going to do what I can as long as God gives me breath. And if you do what you can, and you do what you can, and you do what you can, cumulatively, this isn't a numbers game where we need the masses. You only need a small percentage of people to enact change. And when you talk about that dynamic between citizenry and governments, man, it just kind of runs. You talked about the shutdowns, the lockdowns. It runs because we're submissive. We go, okay, whatever you say. If Barbara Ferrer, as we affectionately call here at KBC, the fake doctor, if she implements another mask mandate, what? So you're going to walk in and put your mask on and go, okay, whatever you say. We need to educate ourselves about massive nonviolent movements, not only around the world, but in this country. We have a voice. We can't say no, no more. And I'll tell you this much, 2 years of this nonsense, you know, I have story after story. Ivermectin, there's a story at the Epoch Times about the miraculous qualities of ivermectin when it comes to COVID. Fauci, deposition this week, couldn't name one study that says masks work. These people are liars. Doesn't mean, because something is purported as truth, doesn't mean we have to go along with it and go, well, okay. Live your life. Let's take back our communities. How many of you know your neighbors? I mean, seriously, we're so separate. We're so isolated. Isn't it ironic? Push of a button, you get information immediately from all over the world, and yet we're so isolated. You know, I'm an old dinosaur. I grew up, couldn't wait for the morning paper to see, being raised in Cleveland, you know, some of the scores, because we didn't have anything. We had three television channels. And I'm not lamenting. I'm not a Luddite. I'm not saying we need to go back to the dark ages where, you know, you just you live with fire. And I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, isn't it interesting that we have so much? Maybe we have too much choice. Last thing, and again, thank you for listening to this program. You may or may not know someone that was raised in a country of oppression and maybe under a communist regime. I know some people. They were raised in an environment where they knew freedom was a precious faculty and it was being taken away by the government entities. Some of these people are speaking out right now and saying, you in the United States, you don't know this because you've taken so many freedoms for granted, but it's here. We need to wake up. Be grateful for the day. Embrace your freedom. Don't abuse it. Live life fully. Wake up in the morning, take a deep breath and say, God, thank you for waking me up. What do you have for me today? And my goodness, be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Get out of your somnambulistic sleep, wake up, and live life to its fullest. And say no to evil. Life can get pretty exciting at the very least. You can find all our podcasts at franksontag.com. We are on every Friday evening, normally from 7 to 9. We hope and pray to be back next Friday evening. Up next, USC football pregame, 5 o'clock, the Trojans take on Utah. I think that's in Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. But God bless each and every one of you. You're welcome to weigh in your comments, frank@kmgministries.com. And I do thank you very much for this hour and for listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.